How you doing? Woo, that thing had some bass. Was that good? I could feel that. Well, Kyle, you did a great job. I'm going to tell one thing that you guys forgot, which is the Connect card. So before we dig into our message today, if you are new or you're new-ish here at New Heart, we'd love to get you connected to our New Heart family. So our offering's already gone by, so there's two other ways that you can turn this in. We'd love to know that you were here. You can drop it in the box on the back on your way out, or we've got a great welcome team out at that table you saw when you walked in. We've got a gift for you if you're a guest with us. So we'd love to get you connected. This is a great card, not only for new guests, but also there's on the back prayer request. We are a church that believes in the power of prayer. So if you got something you're going through or something that you're struggling with, you just need some other people to surround you and pray for you and lift you up before the Lord, that's a great way to do that. So encourage you to do that. There's also cool stuff on there. So check it out. There you go. With that, good morning. So my name is Pastor Bryant. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my great privilege of kicking off this brand new series called We Are. And it says, we are the church, and that's the title of my message today. If you have a Bible, you can pull it out. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. If you've got notes, when you got a bulletin, there's a note sheet inside there. But this morning is an awesome time as the church. Thank you, sir. You are the man. Where the church is gathered, it's opened. Did you slip something in here?
Yes.
Okay, good. You got to ask with Frank. I'm never sure. But it's an awesome time as the church gathers together, and really as that's what church is all about. It's about God's people gathering together. And that's really the purpose and the essence of church. It's God's people gather. And as a church family, we believe very strongly in that both are important. That the gathered church family is very important, that we gather together for worship and for teaching and for times together to grow in our faith. But it's also important that we scatter throughout the week. And that's why we have community groups that meet in different places around our city. Some meet here, some meet in homes. But this is the important part of what it means to be the church, because church is more than just a building. And as a church, we believe that both of those things are important. And if you missed last week, which last week seemed like a holiday week, there was a lot of folks out of town. If you missed last week, we talked about this big idea, or maybe if you're new and you've never heard this before, that these things are the two things that really matter. And as a church, we've got a mission, and our mission is loving God and making His love known. And there's a slide for that eventually. That loving God and making His love known, that's something that's our mission. And that is essentially, that is the big message of Christianity. And that's the central idea of our faith, that this is all about loving God and making His love known to the world. We'll get to it eventually. Is it broken? Did I not put it in there? Oh, well, forget about it then. Pretend like it's in there. See, the truth of the matter is that God says that this is the thing that really matters. We spent the last series looking at what really matters, and Jesus opened up this idea for us that these are the two things that really matter, that we love God and we make His love known to the world. And He says if we will commit our lives and center our lives around these two big ideas, then all of the rest of the Bible will be taken care of in our lives. See, if I put God first, then connecting with His church, sharing life with other believers, is just going to be part of that process of following after God. And serving and giving and doing all those things, they all fall in line with me loving and serving God. See, those two things are the most important things. And this morning, we're going to build on that idea. We've been going through the book of Ephesians for many months, kind of going from point to point. And this morning, we're going to go back a little bit to Ephesians chapter 4. I've been saving this section of Scripture because I felt like God wanted to kind of get us ready before we got to this section. And so this morning we're in Ephesians chapter 4. And again, this scripture today is perhaps one of the most defining scriptures for what it means to be the church. And I wanted to spend a few weeks of us looking at what does it mean to be the church? What does it mean to actually be the church? Because we are the church. Can you say that with me? We are the church. You guys sound good. Can you say that again? Ready? We are the church. Good. See, this building is not a church, but you are the church, and we together are the church. And God gives us a glimpse of what that looks like and what His idea for what God's people would be. And He pulls back the curtain and shows us how He wants to set us up to win as His sons and daughters, to win as the church family. See, many of us have a wrong view of God. We have this idea, this misguided idea, that God is, is somewhere in heaven setting us up for failure. Like he's setting booby traps for us to step into. I don't know about you, but sometimes we can feel that way. We get cynical about life. We feel like God is somewhere setting booby traps for me to trip in and fall over on. Where the Bible says the exact opposite is true. He says he wants to set us up to win in this life of faith, to win in this pursuit of him. See, Jesus came, and the Bible says, Jesus said himself, he came to give us life, and life abundantly. But many of us don't trust in God's goodness. And my hope and prayer is that today, as we dig into the scriptures, that God would remind you of that truth and that you would believe it deeply. That God does want you to win, that God does want to equip you with everything you need for this life, that God wants to walk with you. And my hope is that you would walk away not just believing in God, but trusting God. Because don't you know there's a difference between believing in God and trusting God? I can believe that you are a person, but you know it's different from trusting. I can believe that God exists. The Bible says even the demons believe that God exists. But there's a difference between believing in God and putting our trust in God. Because when I trust in God, then I can say to him, God, your word says to do this, and I don't quite understand it, but I trust you. So I'm going to live life your way. And so that is my hope and prayer, because here's the deal. We're going to get to Ephesians 4, I swear, in a second. But here's the deal. Some of you and some of us are just plain weird. Some of you are shocked. What? You're weird? Yeah, cool. See, but God has made each and every one of us wonderfully weird. He has made us all unique and strange. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, you're weird, and God likes it that way. Some of you got a lot of pleasure from calling your neighbor weird. See, but God has made each one of us unique. And some of you say, well, that's heresy. You can't say that God says that. But God has made each of us unique. He's given us different personalities. He's given us different leanings and different, man, some of your personalities just are fun. I'm so thankful that not everyone in the world is like me. And there's a minion. Thanks, Josh. He just texted me and said, you are weird. I don't know where you are, Josh, but thank you. Appreciate it. See, God has made each one of us unique and quirky and different and individual. He's made us different on purpose. And here's the big idea that God has made us different. Here's Ephesians 4. I'm going to dig into it because God talks about this idea that as a church, we're not only different, but we're also called to walk together. And this is the beautiful dichotomy of what it means to be in the church. We're going to read a lot of scripture today. I'm starting in Ephesians 4, 1. I'm going to read 1 through 7, and then we're going to get into a little bit deeper. But Ephesians 4 says this, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. You got to have patience. Bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There's a lot of alls in that sentence. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And we're going to stop right there for a second. See, here's the big idea is that God has made us wonderfully weird. He's made us different. But he's also called us to unity. He's called us to stand as one. That word one, you can circle it in the Bible every time you see it in that phrase. It's all over the place. We are part of one hope, part of our call, because we have one Lord and one faith and one baptism. That doesn't mean we were all in the tank at the same time. That'd be kind of gross probably, and it's too small. But what he's saying is that we were all baptized into the same Lord. We were all baptized into the same faith, that we all serve one God in heaven. And God wants us to be as a people. He wants us to stand as one. He wants us to be united. See, he's looking for people who will choose unity when everything else, when all of our differences would separate us, that we would choose to be a people that walk together. That is what God is asking us to do. People who will commit to loving God and loving one another, even when we're all so weird. We're all so different. We all have such different personalities and different quirks. And a few verses later, he's going to get into why, because we have so many different gifts, so many different things that we are good at. But God's family is a mixed bag, isn't it? I mean, you look around the room, we've got a whole diversity of people, young and old, and different backgrounds and different socioeconomic statuses. We're different. And that's just how God likes it. You know, God is calling us to do that. And one of my favorite pictures of heaven is from the book of Revelation. God describes that there will be a time where we'll sing to the Lord. And it says that we will sing that he is called from every tribe and every nation and every tongue. And all of us together in one place with one voice will sing to the Lord in worship and adoration. And that's a beautiful picture for me, because we live in such a divided world. We're divided by our politics. We're divided by our economic statuses. We're divided by our skin colors. We're divided by our racial boundaries, by so many different things. We're divided. But God says one day in heaven, we will be united as one, that every tribe and every nation and every tongue will be there worshiping one God. And God says we are to live our life in that way now. He's calling us to be as one right now. See, we all have one Lord, and Jesus is Lord over all of us, black or white, young or old, Spanish speaking and English speaking and Portuguese speaking, all of us. God is Lord over all. And God is calling us to stand as one, united by purpose, united by mission, united by the hope that we have in Jesus, and united by God's great love for us. God has called us to stand as one. But God also, and this is the second point if you're taking notes, God also wants to use the whole people of God to take the whole gospel to the whole world. Now that's a lot of holes, because God wants us to be whole. See, to make God's love known to the world, it's going to take us standing not just as one, not just as a united group, but also it's going to take us standing as many. We're going to have to stand as a group and say, God, we want to live out our lives and demonstrate your love to the world. And God wants to use the diversity of humanity, the differences that he has put inside of each one of us, to not only demonstrate his love, but to make his love known to all of the world, that the whole of the world would know of his great love. See, God puts us, some of you are round pegs. And you know that old adage, you can't put a round peg in a square hole, but God says, I'm going to put all of them in the same bag. I'm going to put round pegs and square pegs and triangular pegs and crooked pegs and all sorts of different groups of people, and I'm going to put them all together because there's something beautiful that I want to do even in the middle of that. See, because here's the deal. God wants whole people. See, it says that he wants to use the whole people of God, but God wants whole people. And he wants to restore people to wholeness. We all come to God broken. Now, some of us look more broken than others, right? You know, we always love to have stories of how God has changed us. And some of you guys have heard your stories. You're like, man, I was a crack addict, and I was doing this, and I was killing people. And like, your story is crazy. You're like, you looked really messed up. And others of us, I mean, just be honest. And some of us don't have that story. Maybe we grew up in a you know, good home where our parents loved Jesus. But God still had to restore brokenness, because all of us come to Jesus broken. And we all need to be restored and healed and saved. You can say amen to that. That's the truth. And God's desire is to restore each one of us. He wants to create us anew. He wants to give us a new beginning. Ephesians 2:10, I quote this passage all the time because I love it so much. It says, for we are his workmanship, and that is on the screen. Ready? Go. Yes. No, that's not it. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, God has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. Turn to the person next to you and say, God's got plans for you. See, what I love about this scripture is it tells us that it's okay. It tells us that that we are God's workmanship. Another translation says we are his masterpiece. And God wants to take the broken pieces that we come to him with and make something beautiful. For some of you, you think, well, how can God take all of that stuff? Maybe it's stuff from your past. Maybe it's stuff from your present. Maybe it's stuff that you don't think you'll ever be done with. But God wants to take those broken pieces and build something beautiful. And God even wants to take your personality, your quirkiness, the things about your personality that are different than the person sitting next to you. God made us with personalities. And, you know, there's a lot of talk in the psychology and counseling world about the difference between nature and nurture. This idea that there's some traits in kids and in people that, man, it's just in the genes. Like, I'll pick on you, Patricia, because I see you there. You know, they're Italian, so they're just going to be loud, right? And they're going to talk loud. And when they play bunco, they're just going to be yelling and screaming like I heard all about. Right? That's what I heard. I mean, I'm just saying what I heard. So that's the nature side. And then others would say, but it's nurture. It's kind of the family environment you grew up in. You know, she's just loud because her parents were loud and all of her family was loud. Just, I'm giving you a hard time. We love you, Patricia. I heard you had a great time, all you ladies. Did you guys have a good time? See, but any parent with more than one child will tell you that kids are just different. They can have the same parents, grow up in the same house. Some of your parents are like, uh-huh, they're totally different. They can grow up in the same household with the same discipline and the same rules and the same everything and just be different. And I think that's the way God likes it. See, my boys are just like this. I marvel at this with my boys because, you know, we've got four boys. Evan is so young, well, the jury's still out on what he's going to be like because he's still developing. But my other three boys, it's so apparent how different God has made each one of them. See, my oldest, Ezra, my firstborn, man, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's got a huge heart. He feels empathy for people and animals and bugs. And, well, maybe not bugs. Bugs could just get squished. But everything else, he feels empathy for. Like when someone is hurt, man, he's just, I love and hate to have him around when someone gets injured because he's just like, oh, it hurts so bad. I'm like, you didn't get hurt. But he has such empathy. And then my second born, Ethan, man, he cares too, but in a quieter way. In fact, where Ezra would love to be in the center of attention, if there's a party going on and there's a bunch of people, man, he's going to be, just like his mom, he's going to be right in the middle of it, around, with having fun and loud, and Ethan will be like, Dad, I'm having fun, but can we go home? I want to play with my Legos and read a book. That's my Ethan, and I love him so. And Eli, on the other hand, he's a mischievous little guy. I don't know if it's the third born or it's just because he's two right now. I don't know if he's going to grow out of it, but his other brothers will be playing and we'll look up and say, where's Eli? And he'll be off finding candies and getting into trouble and playing with toilet wands and doing all sorts of mischievous stuff. And he's the one I'm going to have to watch out for. But I love that because God has made them each so differently. Now, they have the same parents, but one of the things we've learned is that even as a father, I have to parent them differently. The same thing that works for Ezra doesn't work for Ethan. The same thing that instructs one of the boys, it just goes right over the head of the next. And one of the greatest crimes I could commit as a parent would be to try and put them all in the same mold, to try and make them all conform to the same pattern, to make them all look exactly the same, because God has formed them differently. And unfortunately, sometimes even in the church, we have this idea that every one of us should look exactly the same. Now, the truth of the matter is that the Bible talks about absolutes. There's only one way, and the scripture we read just said one a few times. There's one baptism and one Lord. There's only one way to the Father. Jesus said it's through me. Not me, Jesus. Jesus said he's the only way, the truth, and the life. But while we have one way and one baptism and one Lord, God calls us to be many. He calls us to be diverse. He calls us to be different because he's made us all so differently. And God wants us to share the gospel with the whole world. And to do so, he's given us different personalities because we need to be equipped and shaped by people that are different than we are. See, if we all looked the same, and we'd be really one way or the other. We'd be really lopsided. And God wants to equip us with many different things and many different teachers and many different influences within his church. So because the reality is that I'm not perfect. Are you? Some of you are like, yeah, heck yeah. Come on up here if you are. See, I don't have all the attributes of Jesus. We serve a God who came in the flesh and demonstrated what it was like to live a perfect life. And he demonstrated all these attributes that are important, but not one of us contain them all. Not one of us have all of those attributes. Now, I want to talk about personality tests. I don't know about you, but I tend to dislike personality tests. You know the kind, like the ones that'll tell you, oh, you're a choleric, or you're a sanguine, or you're... I really dislike the ones that call you an animal. Like, you're a golden retriever, or you're like an otter. I don't know what that means. You're smart? Yeah? Are you an otter? Okay. And I like those because they kind of give us a picture, but they never quite describe me. In fact, my favorite one I found is called the Strengths Finders. Of our Connect class, folks go through that one. And it's good because it helps you to kind of understand where it is that you are strongest, where your strengths are. Because that's an important thing for us as humans to understand how God has gifted us, how he's made us. Because I am called to be who God made me to be. I'm called to add the gifts and the strengths that he's put inside of me to the church family. And the Bible in our scripture, and we're going to get to the next part of it. Actually, I believe we already read it. Did we already read it? No, we haven't read it yet. It talks about these apes gifts. In fact, I'm going to read it. I don't know if it's on the screen or not. We'll find out. But Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, says this. It says, God, in trying to help us to be as one, he's given us these people. It says, verse 11, Ephesians 4, 11. And he, God, gave us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. So that's A-P-E-S-T, apest. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. For what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. For building up the body of Christ until all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure and stature and fullness of Christ. Let's stop right there. See, God has given us men and women that sit all around us to equip us for the work that we need to do, to equip us for the things that we need. And I want to kind of break down some of those gifts real quickly, because these are what we would call equipping gifts. These are the gifts of that God has put inside the church to train us up, to raise us up for what we need. And the first is the apostles. And apostles, they want to multiply. They have a vision of the future. In fact, an apostle, if you were to say, what would an apostle say? An apostle would say, let's go. Let's go. They'd say, look, there's people over there on that hill. Let's go. And they'd say, let's go after it. Now, I'm taking this list, some of the great descriptions from Alan Hirsch. He's got some great works on apes gifts. But he says that as sent ones, the apostles ensure that faith is transmitted from one context to another, from one generation to the next. And they're always thinking about the future, about breaking down barriers and going beyond the boundaries of where they're at. Now, apostles are great gifts to God's family, but by themselves, what will tend to happen is without these other gifts around, they will leave people behind. They'll say, let's go. And they'll forget there's people that are straggling behind, and they'll miss out. So they say, let's go. Let's reach beyond. Prophets are the next gift that's listed. And prophets want to stay close to the truth. They would say, let's stick to the plan. And in the context of God's church, they'd say, let's stick to God's word. Let's go back to the truth. And prophets are concerned. Some of you are rule followers. You want to know the rules and follow the rules. These are our prophets among us. They're good people to have. And they're particularly attuned to God and his truth. They want to know what God is speaking to us. They want to know how we can draw close to God and draw into the presence of God. They say, let's stick to the plan. We can't ever get away from God's word. No matter how fast we go, we can go slow or fast as long as we're sticking close to God. Prophets are important. The third gift that's listed is evangelists. And our evangelists would say, let's invite them. Here's my firstborn son right there. He'd say, well, what about them over there? Let's invite them to the party. These are our natural recruiters. These are the men and women that can invite anyone to anything, anywhere, and people will show up. You guys maybe have friends like this. Maybe you're like this. But I love evangelists. They're infectious communicators of the gospel. And they call for a personal response of God. But kind of the downside is they can be so focused on reaching those outside that they forget about the people sitting to their left and their right. But they say, let's invite them. The fourth gift that's listed is shepherds. Shepherds. And a shepherd nurtures and protects people at all costs. They would say, let's slow down a little bit. We're going too fast because these people are tired and they just want to sit down and rest. A shepherd is are caregivers of our community, and they focus on the protection and spiritual maturity of God's flock, cultivating a loving and spiritually mature network of relationships. They care about people deeply. And shepherds, the difficulty is that shepherds can tend to value stability at the detriment of the mission. They can say, let's slow down. We don't want to lose anyone, because they want to slow down for people. And the final gift that's listed in our equipping gifts are the teachers. And teachers say, let's go deep. Let's go deep. Let's go deep. The teachers want to understand and explain God's truth to others. They say they want to help others remain biblically grounded and go deep in their knowledge of God. Why do I say all these things? Because these kind of represent some of our different leanings, some of our different bends within the church, that we are a people that need different people. I need teachers, and we need all of these different folks. Because none of these are perfect descriptors, but they help us to understand the gospel in a different way. See, the truth of the matter is, as a church, we need apostles. We need men and women who will see a big vision and will see beyond our current reality, that will be able to see, hey, how can we reach out? How can we expand? How can we grow? How can we reach new groups of people that we're not reaching? We need men and women to rise up to their place within his church. We need prophets. We need men and women that will be devoted to pressing into God, to growing deep in the things of God, to hearing from God and moving in the prophetic and moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need those men and women to rise up in our church family. We need the evangelists. We need men and women who will be about recruiting and bringing other people into the family of God, who will keep their eyes focused like laser beams on those people who are still far from God. And they will say, lost people matter to God, so lost people matter to us. So we need evangelists. We also need shepherds, men and women who will care for one another. See, a church family is in desperate need always of shepherds, all of these gifts, but as shepherds are the ones that care. They look to people and they care deeply. And we all care for people, but shepherds have a unique empathy that the rest of us don't. Without our shepherds, we'd never slow down enough to take care of our own wounds, to take care of ourselves. We need teachers. Yes, we need teachers, those who can think deeply and explain the things of God in simple ways. We need men and women who will do that, who will go through the Bible and help us to understand God's truth through the scriptures. And we need each of these gifts. Why? See, it says that God has given the apex gifts, Ephesians 4:12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. But who are the saints? You say, well, they're a football team, right? Or they're those people that have statues made of them. No. The Bible talks about saints. It talks about each one of us who have been redeemed and restored and saved by grace through Jesus Christ. We are all saints. So you say, but I don't feel like a saint today. I need a Snickers bar. I'm grumpy. Right? And you might not feel like a saint, but God calls us his saints, and he wants his saints to rise up. And the job of our apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers, my job as your pastor is to equip you for the work of ministry. Now, the work of ministry doesn't just happen in these four walls. The work of ministry is to be happening as the church is scattered beyond these walls. See, you are called to ministry. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're called to ministry, friend. As a doctor, you're called to point people to the great physician, to point to them, the one that can heal not only their body, but their soul. See, as a baker, It doesn't matter what profession you do. If you're a baker, man, your job is not baking bread. It's not working in a cafe. Your job is to point people to the bread of life, to the one true God who can satisfy our souls forever. You know, if you're a teacher, your job is not simply to teach arithmetic or some other subject in education, but your job is to point them to the one who wants to educate them and bring them into the family of God, to open their eyes to the real truth, the truth of God's word. See, God has made you unique. He's put gifts inside of you. And 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, gives us a picture of this. It says, after talking about several of these gifts, it says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. There's that word one again. Who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. See, some of you are called to be feet in the family of God. You're like, but I don't want to be a foot. Foot are stinky. But without a foot, we cannot stand. And if we can stand, we can't balance very well. You know, you lose some toes, you can't even balance very well. We need all of those different parts. And some of you are called to be the feet in the family of God. Others of you are handy, and God says, I want you to be a hand and be handy within the family of God. Whatever it is that God has done in you and put in you and gifts he's placed in you, God wants you to use those gifts for the good of other people and the glory of God. See, our mission is huge. Our mission is to love God and to make his love known to all the world. And the only way we can do that is if each one of us will take our God-given gifts and use them to bring glory to God. See, that's the only way we can do it. It's not about what you and I want. It's about saying, God, how do you want to use these quirks, these gifts, these personality traits, these things you've put inside of me? How do you want me to use these things? Because God has made us all wonderfully weird. Those weird things about us, God wants to use for his glory. And God wants to share the good news of the gospel that his love is freely available to all who will draw near to him. He wants to use all of our lives to not only say those words, to not only tell people, but to show people. And it's going to take each one of us using our gifts, saying, God, I'm willing to take, it's a small gift, but God, I want to use everything that I have for you. As a baker, as a doctor, as a cop, you name it, whatever it is you do Monday through Friday, God, how can you use my life? As a mom, as a dad, as a teacher, as a coach, whatever it is that God has placed you in, God, how can you use those things? Because God wants to use the whole people of God to bring the whole gospel, the good news of Jesus, to the whole world. And that is only possible if we will stand as one, we'll stand united and say, God, I want to commit my life to loving you and making your love known. That only happens if we will stand united, and that only happens if we will stand as many. We'll say, God, would you take my quirkiness? Would you take my gift? It's different than his. It's different than the person next to me. But God, would you take the gifts you've planted inside of me and use them for the good of the kingdom of God and the good of other people around me? See, to do that, we have to venture out of our comfort zones. We've got to be willing to say, God, I'm really comfortable just kind of sitting on the couch. I'm really comfortable sitting on the bench, going to church and just sitting in church. But God is calling us to not just go to church, but to be the church, because we are the church. And he's calling us to do those things, to put in action the gifts that he's put inside of us. Because here's the deal, friend, you can go places that I cannot go. You go to your workplaces, you go to your neighborhoods, you go to your soccer games. You know, there's lots of those. Soccer games and taekwondo tournaments and all the different things that you go to places that I don't go. And God has put you there as light, to be the light of the world, to be salt. See, we need to be many and we need to be one. The question is, will you trust God? Will you say, God, I want to trust you with this gift. I want to bring it to you and say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. The question is, will you trust him? Would you bow with me as we close our time in prayer? We bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that your grace is big enough even for our biggest mistakes. We thank you, God, that you want to take our broken things and create a beautiful tapestry from them. You want to fashion something beautiful from things that are broken. And this morning, for some of you, God is calling you to recommit to his mission, to refocusing your life around those two simple truths, to love God and make his love known to the world around you. He's calling some of you to step outside of your comfort zones, to invest your life in sowing into God's kingdom. For others of you, God was reawakening. He was reawakening you to who he's made you to be. God's created you to be part of something bigger than yourselves. He's called you to be part of his family, part of the body of Christ. And he's put gifts inside of you. And God, for some of you, was reawakening the idea that you have something to contribute to his family. Maybe it's within your community group. Maybe it's here in our gatherings. Maybe it's some other way. But God is reawakening in you this idea that he wants to use your gifts, big or small, for his purposes. If that's you, I want to invite you to pray with me right where you are. You don't have to say anything or do anything weird. Just pray with me. Father, we thank you that you've made us so wonderfully weird. You've made us different. God, I thank you that you've given me a personality. You've given me things that are passions of mine. Would you help me to use those for your glory? Maybe I care deeply about people. Maybe I care deeply about the future. Maybe I'm passionate about your word or teaching people or helping them to grow deep. God, would you use those passions? Would you train them up? Would you surround me with other men and women who are strong in those gifts and equip me for what you have for my days ahead? God, we thank you for the new identity you give us in Jesus, that you've called us new creations. And today, on this day, we thank you that we are new creations, that the past is gone and the future is new before us. So we thank you, God. Help us to use our gifts for your glory and for the good of all people. Finally, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't want to leave this space without making an opportunity for anyone who's here who's never crossed the line of faith. As we talk about taking the good news of God's love to the whole world, you say, but I've never known that. I've never received God's love. If that's you today, with every head bowed and eye closed in this place, I want to make an opportunity for you to receive God's love, to say yes to Jesus' free gift of grace. I'm not going to ask you to come down front or do anything strange or weird, but I want to agree with anyone who's here that says, hey, I want to cross that line of faith. I want to say yes to Jesus for the first time or come home to him. I've wandered far. If that's you, I'm not going to ask you to come down front, but I want to agree with you in prayer with every other head bowed and eye closed. If you say, that's me, I want to say yes to Jesus. Would you lift up your eyes and lift up your hand? I want to agree with you in prayer. Anyone in this room, from the front all the way to the back, lift up your head, lift up your eyes. Thank you, Father. We glorify you. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you died on the cross for our sins, that you said all we have to do is to receive your free gift of grace. You said, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. So Jesus, we thank you for that gift. We thank you that we don't have to earn our way to heaven, but you paid the price. Would you help us to be a people that go with that love, that are sent on your mission of bringing the whole gospel to the whole world through the whole people of God? Would you make us whole, and would you send us on this great mission? In Christ Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Well, I want to encourage you and invite you, as we talked about walking this stuff out in community groups. If you're not part of a community group, fill out a Connect card. Let us know you'd like to get part of one, and we'll connect you with the community group. Also, those of you who have said yes to Jesus today or maybe recently, if you've never been water baptized, you've never been dunked, we'd love to get you water baptized. Serious talking. Is that you? So if you've never been water baptized, fill out the card. Let us know how we can pray for you. I'm going to have you all rise. I want to pray a prayer of blessing. Our prayer teams will also be available after service. If you need to agree with someone in prayer, let me speak a prayer blessing over you and you'll be released. Father, we thank you. I thank you for these, your church. We are your church. Lord, I pray blessing over those men and women that are here today. May we go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May we be filled with your Spirit and equipped for everything that you have for us to do this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, New York.